And you, D, you're gonna, are you gonna sit up here?
Yes.
No. You can sit up here at one of these.
I was teasing her. She's kind of like royalty.
Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to this Lasana Mas County Board of County Commissioners work session. Today is October 8th, 2024. It is now 10 a.m. I'm calling this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Haas, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Lord, we ask for courage. Courage to face and conquer our own fears. Courage to take us where others won't go. We ask for strength, strength of body to protect others, strength of spirit to lead others. We ask for dedication, dedication to do our jobs and do it well. Dedication to our country, keep it whole. Give us, Lord, concern, concern for those who need us. And please, Lord, through it all, be at our sides. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Haas.
Here.
Commissioner Peterson.
I'm here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dorenkamp?
No changes, Commissioner.
I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Well, once again, a good morning, and I want to welcome all of you. But before we start, I want to open up with a couple of remarks and really extend a sincere thanks to Commissioner Luis Lopez, Mr. Dorenkamp, and Mr. Rico, Mr. Phil Rico. They have been working on this letter of support for quite some time. One of the things that it has taken quite a little bit of a research is going through back and forth with the pipeline owners, doing an investigation, having communication. And so as we begin to draft this letter of support, if we decide that this is exactly the road that we want to take, we want to thank all of you that have participated in this draft. It's a draft document that at this point in time today, this board will not be making any decisions. We are not going to be taking any position on this. This is going to be considered. And from my perspective, and I'll stand to be corrected, from my perspective, it's a living document thus far until we all agree that the final language is going to be gone. So, and briefly, I'll pass it on to my fellow commissioners. But one thing that it is important to highlight, I don't know, and I can't remember exactly. We had a meeting with the pipeline owner, Kinder Morgan, and the city representatives, the county representatives. And one of the things that came out of this whole thing, that it was decided, let's work on this at that time, and it's still titled a white paper letter of support, if you will, on behalf from the county back to you all. And from there on, you know, one of the challenges is going to be once this letter is in your possession to take it forward, and then you begin to do all the stakeholding. And I'm speaking the Army, Fort Carson, beginning to do all the stakeholding with the constituents, with the community, with the ag community, and then of course with whomever you have to go through. There is probably going to be an archaeological study, there's gonna be a historical study and all those things. So from the county perspective, as the chairman of this board, I believe that this document, again, has taken a lot of work, it's taken a lot of time. And so this is gonna go, I would imagine, to the congressional delegation, the federal congressional delegation, to seek support for the dollars that that you all are gonna be requesting. So it is on behalf of this Board of County Commissioners, that we feel that this letter of support, if we agree with the language, and this is going to, once again, an open document, we're going to go through that. I'm going to share some of my comments, some of my ideas, what are going to be some of the additions that I see from my perspective, and perhaps even some deletions. So I want to welcome all of you. And as we go through the process today, We're going to open up the floor for any and all if you want to make a comment. And I see we have Ms. Kathy Garcia back there. We have Mr. Huerta, and we have all the representatives that have the big purse. I want you to really keep them to task, because at the end of the day, they'll be the ones that carry forward this letter of support, if indeed this is what this Board of County Commissioners moves forward with. And so one last thing, and then I'll pass it on to my fellow commissioners. As I mentioned to you today, this will be, down the future, a line item on a regular Board of County Commissioners to make a decision to support this letter or not. So today simply is an open conversation. So welcome to all of you, some of our city friends as well. Madam Mayor, welcome to this meeting. So from all that councilwoman, and so to all of you, welcome, and know that the floor is gonna be opening up here in a moment for any comments, recommendations, and so on. So now, Commissioner Luis Lopez, you have been working on this, so I'll yield the floor to you, sir.
Thank you, Chairman, and good morning, and welcome everyone, and to our dignitaries and our U.S. Army Military D, welcome. Mayor, Councilman Ogletree, thank you for being here. Former Mayor Rico, thank you for your efforts on this. And a big thank you to city staff as well for coming along, and our land use, Mr. Lucero, Emergency Manager, Mr. Richards, thank you all for being here today. This is a subject that's been, we've been talking about for the last couple of years. And moving forward, and I'd like to really give a big thank you to Mr. Dorenkamp for all the work he's put into drafting this document as well with us, and getting this forward to this point. There'll be a lot of discussion regarding how to move forward and changing this draft into a precise, exact document to move forward at this time. But a little background for the community and for those listening online, with the background of the U.S. Army's acquiring of the Pinon Canyon many years ago. We were very strong supporters back then when I was in high school of the Pinon Canyon, because of the industry and the businesses that were going to be effective in a positive manner for the city of Trinidad and the city of La Junta, possibly with the development of Pinon Canyon. And over the years, we've seen some of that. We've seen the military spending money in our communities, as well as assisting in local fire departments and assisting in many different ways that affects Los Angeles County and our neighboring Otero counties, and being good partners with the U.S. Army. Matter of fact, when I was just in high school, I was explaining earlier to the troops here this morning with us that my family had a contract with Army Air Force Exchange Services and did a business down there. We employed many people at the time, up to 10 people, for the large rotation. So it has shown some benefits over the years, especially directly with myself. And matter of fact, we own property directly across the highway, anticipating Pinon Canyon to be a full-fledged institution and base where the need for apartment living and gas stations and business opportunities would be available. It's unfortunate that 40 years later that hasn't occurred yet, but we're still optimistic that I'll see that in my future and be able to possibly assist in opening businesses out there to encourage this endeavor. However, the whole purpose of this discussion today is something that has been hot and heavy on our minds for many years because of the surrounding farmers and ranchers that live there. But we want to make sure that we protect the folks that live out there and their interests and their concerns. And the main thing for me in addressing this today is the allowing and the supporting the U.S. Army in relocating of this said pipeline. If the map's not up, but in our map, it does show that it does disrupt a large portion of the base. And by supporting this for myself and for my surrounding ranchers and landowners, this would allow the U.S. Army to relocate this so they can utilize the majority of their training facilities. And I think that'd be a benefit to this community, but it'll also protect the ranchers and landowners surrounding. So there will be no more need of a future land acquisition from the U.S. Army for purposes of training. Since the property does have that disruption, I think this would be something positive to assist them into utilizing the entirety of their base. We were fortunate enough a little over a year ago to have a flyover with Colonel Brown and visit the entire site And it was very eye-opening for myself as a county commissioner to get a bird's eye view of the entire base to show us and show the importance of how this allocation of funding and assistance with Kinder Morgan to assist the U.S. Army utilizing the entire base is somewhat necessary. So having said that, I'd like to finalize and come forward and have discussion today of any concerns that was in the draft and what we need to change. I know Kinder Morgan, I don't think it has a representative here today with us, but their concerns were it would not be abandonment on that pipeline. So it's going to have to be relocation moving forward. So with that said, again, strongly support our U.S. Army and all of the folks that represent our country and protect us every day in our armed forces. And for just being a small community county commissioner, I'd like to be able to say that I was able to support this manner moving forward in assisting our troops in training for the future to protect this great nation. Thank you.
Welcome all. It's good to have you all here. And I want to thank Mr. Rico and Luis and Phil for their work on this white paper. I'm kind of a man of action. I'd like to get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation, and let's get moving on.
Thank you, sir. So on that, let me extend a sincere welcome. If there are any questions to General Ferris, welcome to Santa Maria County. Garrison Commander Colonel Oxenbach, I hope I said that right.
Sure, good.
And Deputy
Joe.
Very good. Thank you so much to all of you. And so from the perspective of this letter of support that we are going to be penning and completing, the greatest opportunity that we have had is I have gone through this letter several times. By way of history, the pipeline, we have once again through the work of former Mayor Rico, Mr. Phil Dorenkamp, and Commissioner Luis Lopez, there's a little bit of history on this letter. I don't know if you all have a copy of it, but let me kind of give you a little bit of background. Pinyon Canyon is about 236,000 acres. There is an approximate 26-mile high-pressure gas line that runs directly through the maneuver training area at Pinyon Canyon Maneuver Site. By the county supporting the relocation of this particular project, it will increase military training exercises, flexibility, by utilizing the entirety of the site. One of the research points that was discovered as this letter was being penned, an example of a recent large-scale exercise was forced to reconfigure attack lanes, sacrificing realism to protect the pipeline. So as I read this information that has been discovered and researched, the pipeline becomes somewhat of an obstacle to provide all of the training necessary. Going back, Kinder Morgan executives did not express a willingness to share in the cost of abandoning or relocating the pipeline. So in a sense, the owner of the pipeline said, you want to do it? You go ahead and do it, very specifically back to the Army Corps of Engineers. So, and as you all prepare the study, one of the questions, my first question to either the Garrison Commander or General, this information that we have in front of us is 2019, $42 million to move the pipeline. That was dollars from a few years ago. We have recently have seen the supply, demand, the cost of labor, the cost of all those things. Can you extrapolate and see what would the cost be? And I would imagine that as we go through the appropriations, perhaps in 25, 26, do you know what, if we were to leave that number in the letter for the congressional delegation, once again to Washington, D.C. and the DOD, is that a figure they can work with? Yes, should be working.
Yeah, so Joe White can definitely hear us. So there have been some numbers done over the last 5 years. Your number is fairly in the middle of that. Kinder Morgan has done some numbers, but we're not privy to what their numbers are. But cost of going up for every quantity, steel, labor, insurance, and people that you know. So that's what I was suggesting.
And if I may, just kind of a follow up, the Department of the Army will actually have, we are providing numbers for 2019. So at that point in time, they'll realize that the expenditures have increased. Mr. Rico, please come up so those individuals that are online can actually hear your comments, sir.
Phil Rico, commissioners, thank you for putting together this event today. And like I said, I've been involved with this. And just to let everyone know how this white paper actually began. And I think it was February of 2023, I went to Washington, D.C. And I met with a couple of people from the Pentagon. And one of them was, and actually was Ivan Bolden. He was from the Office of the Deputy Chief of Staff. He was the Chair of Joint Services. And he and I, well, he actually decided to come to Colorado Springs. I think it was in May of 2023. We had a breakfast together, and he was the one that actually recommended this white paper come together, I think so. And he was expressing the importance of this white paper and how it pertains to Pino Canyon and the services and the readiness for Fort Carson soldiers to be prepared for war. That's really what it amounts to. And so we had a good conversation, and he was the one that recommended that this white paper begin. And I've stayed in contact somewhat with him. He retired, I think, at the end of December, and he actually transferred his chair over, I guess, to Kamala Mose. I've had a little bit of conversation by emails with her. So I have some emails from her, whether she's still there or not. But here, just to kind of fast forward, last September, when we had that meeting with everybody, we had, and of course, like you said, Kinder Morgan didn't want to put forth any money, but they would be willing to put forth a, what they call a tabletop exercise of what the cost would be. We got that, I think, like in February, and I passed that on to everybody. And then about a week ago, I was concerned. I said, you know, one thing that they did not give is a breakdown of what all of this was pertained within that that estimate. And their estimate that they have today, well, as of that time, was $35 million. And I just wanted to, I asked them, actually it was William Brown and Gary Zieske, and they were the people, two of the people that were here last September. And one of the things that they came back and they said that, of course, that cost now is not valid because it's already been, what, 8 or 9 months that it's been. So it's important to know that my question to them was, what all did that estimate pertain to? And I passed that information on to all of you as well, which was, did that include engineering? Did that include cost? Did it include, you know, labor? Did it include, and it said all of the other. And they came back, and you guys have a copy of that. And they did say that it covered everything that they knew that that they would need permitting, et cetera, et cetera. So you guys have that. So fast forward, that is the current information from Kinder Morgan's side and the conversation that I've had with them. So anyway, thank you for
putting this together. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And kind of a follow-up on that, let me ask the question to anyone from the Army. Want our community to really understand what is happening here, and simply for us, I think the title of a white paper is something that perhaps could have created a question mark. This is, once again, the way I see it, and I stand to be corrected. It's a letter of support extended by this Board of County Commissioners after the exhaustive research that has been done by the county personnel along with the past city mayor. They have been working on this for quite some time. So if I'm seeing it in a different perspective, please, let us know. We believe that this letter of support, of course, is going to be delivered to the proper authorities, the federal delegation, and given some of the outgoing U.S. representatives. are willing to carry on that message to Washington, D.C., whatever they need to place it. So my question to you all is, so what happens, and if you care to expound on, what happens if the process begins to be approved? What are the steps that the Army is going to take to ensure that the communication and the community is 100% abreast of what's happening with this project?
I can start off, Joe. First, I want to say thank you for taking the opportunity to take this mission. This Pinyon Canyon is extremely important, obviously, to you and the ranchers and all those that live around here. We do not want to expand. We want to enhance what we have, because we think we have enough land there. We do not need to expand, but we want to enhance what we have. And I appreciate everyone's concern and the history that goes with that, to know that we do not want to expand. What we want to do is enhance a world-class treatment facility. And we can do that if this pipeline comes out. It will further enhance our ability to train, not for yesterday's war, not for today's war, but for tomorrow. And as you talked about, why this is important to you, because this is about saving lives. We go to train, we train to save lives. And what we're training now is stuff that hasn't been done where we need special. We need land. We need airspace. We need places to do things that Fort Carson doesn't necessarily afford us. But having the opportunity to deploy a Pinyon Canyon and train enhances our ability to prepare for tomorrow. So when we look at Pinyon Canyon, we see nothing but opportunity and growth. And it's not just for the Army, it's for the entire Joint Force. When I say the entire Joint Force, I mean the Air Force, and you know they come down here. We have Marines, we have Navy, and we have Space Force that all want to train, take part in the opportunities that avail us at Pinyon Canyon. The ability to take rail, train on rail, the ability to have to go 160 miles just to get to the fight, it's difficult in itself. So this is why Pinyon Canyon is important to us. What we're doing right now is an environmental impact study. We see ourselves growing in Pinyon Canyon. And we're going to try and expand in the footprint of the existing Pinyon Canyon. That is our goal, is to expand the training and enhance the training in that boundary. And that is so that we can do more artillery. We can do things that we're not able to do anywhere else on the spectrum. It allows us to do things at altitude that we can't do anywhere else because of its remote location. And that's where we see Pinyon Canyon going in the future. As you know, this isn't about today, this is about tomorrow. It's about how we train, and it's about where we train. Fort Carson is going to see an expansion in capability here in the next few years. Call it a multi-domain task force. They need a place to train. There's only one of those existing in the world right now. That's for there's two others that have already been fielded, they're in the process of growing, but we're bringing another one here. We have the first and only space brigade in the United States Army. We have 10 special forces for Fort Carson. We have a fantastic relationship with the Colorado National Guard, the Air Force Academy, Shreve. That community of interest, we want and they want to come down here to Pinyon Canyon. So this is why this is so important for us. It's again, it's for tomorrow. It's for saving lives for tomorrow's fight. So we're going to continue to invest in how we can enhance the training area that's there at Pinyon Canyon. And if this pipeline is approved at some point, it is an ongoing process. We would be transparent, I think, in everything we do with the process of that. And Joe's an engineer, we'll talk to you about it. And I know Eric would be down here. He, as you know, would be transparent, and he would be open to the words to you, just like we brought up in the book before. We would show you everything that's going on there, because we appreciate the time and energy that you're putting to enhance our soldiers' training, your children's training, because that's the soldier of that, what their future is. Take that.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Hess.
Yeah, I've got a question, and Colonel or General or whoever wants to answer this, but the information I would like to have for our congressional delegates in the back of the room, how is this pipeline actually affecting the training that's going on out there? I realize it's 26 miles long, and about 300 yards wide, right? The buffer that's around that pipeline. I'm the one that put those posts up and said there's a high pressure, don't train there. But But tell us how it affects that, and what's the chance of there being a and got to give it to staff. Dee, you've done a fantastic job of keeping our soldiers safe while they're training on that 26-mile corridor, because you know, we didn't lose anybody. We haven't had any explosions as of to date. But can you address the concern there and how this will make the training more valuable there with that on the outskirts?
I'll start off. So when you take a look at exercise design, we have to find creative ways to avoid the pipeline, work that into the pilot scenario so that we can develop the best training possible for our soldiers. Right now, what we have there is a non-deadly effect, so that means no high explosive munitions. So really it limits what we can do down there. And we are getting creative because we have to exist where we do. Say, okay, the facts are there's a pipeline. So we're creating an environmental impact study right now, a $7 million study, to figure out where we can place impact areas so that we can expand our training in the existing Indian Canyon area. If that pipeline wasn't there, we could expand our impact area so that we could do better training, period. And that would make us better for whatever we have to do next. With the pipeline in place, it does limit what we can do in terms of maneuver. As you know, I've seen run, I pay attention to the sign, and it says you can't drive on this. You can go perpendicular, but you can't drive along it. So it forces us to sometimes develop unnatural things. So last time we were there was in August, and what we did, we turned that into a river. And so we had a designation for crossing points, and like we made it into a realistic scenario, but we had to get really creative. It was not what we initially wanted to do, nor did it replicate this scenario we were preparing for. So those are some of the limitations that are there because of the facts. There is a large pipeline that is constitutional. That once you got to do the training, we have a mission. But it does degrade what we can do and the potential for what we can do.
Thank you. Let me welcome a couple of individuals that have joined us, Mr. Dennis Heisey and Mr. Michael Crucio, that from the they're with the National Security Advisors. So welcome, gentlemen. I'm going to yield the floor. I think Commissioner Luis Lopez a couple of moments ago had a statement and or a question. Can you from the perspective as from the federal delegation, can you just walk us through the process? Where do you see this letter of support and where do you see this project advancing now that we have a very prominent election coming up? And we know that the funding perhaps not gonna happen for who knows how long, but welcome, good morning, gentlemen. Would you care to just unmute yourself, introduce yourself and give us a bit of a kind of what if scenario?
I guess it would still be morning for you all on Mountain Time. Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Michael Curcio. I am Congressman Lamborn's Deputy Chief of Staff and National Security Advisor. It's good to see my friend General Ferris in the audience, who I have a great working relationship with. You know, without really going too much into the meat of the requirements, I think that what we would be looking at for this issue is something called a Defense Community Infrastructure Program project, which are grants awarded by the Department of Defense for projects that benefit both the community and the National Defense Mission. This year, with the assistance of the Army, Congressman Lamborn submitted language into the National Defense Authorization Act, which is not yet passed the Congress, but we anticipate that the language will survive the negotiation conference as we move toward the end of the year, and will be enacted. It's something called directive reporting language. It technically doesn't carry, it's not statutory, but it carries the force of law. And what this language is doing is directing the Army to study the feasibility of the range, its utility, and then report back to the Committee on Armed Services on its findings. As part of this, and I think General Ferris just mentioned, was that money was released, you know, although we can't confirm that the Congress's interest in the project was the genesis of that, but nevertheless, the Army is conducting an environmental impact statement on the feasibility of expanding the impact area. Buddy, correct me if I misstep anywhere here. I have been personally briefed by General Doyle multiple times, at least three times, to examine the issue. And the benefit to the Army and benefit to the joint force as we move into more multi-domain centric operations. I have briefed the congressman extensively on that, and he's pleased at the efforts that all of us are undertaking. With respect to the Defense Community Infrastructure Program, there are, and I apologize because I don't have the exact requirements in front of me. I think which are in section 2391 of Title 10 United States Code. But in order for the Congress to really move something down the tracks, there is a set of wickets that we need to jump through. All of which are, for the most part, on the service to get through in partnership with the community. And broadly, this consists of planning, project planning, and also budgeting and programming. So, you know, the projects need to be a certain percent planned, and they need to be budgeted in the future year's defense plan before Department of Defense will look at any sort of movement by Congress to prioritize these. And yes, congressional members often do submit letters of support for various projects, which DOD takes into consideration as they award these grants. However, I to the extent that the Congress gets involved in that, I think that's there are certainly limits on it. So anyhow, I thank you very much for the opportunity to add in a few remarks here. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Krisha. Thank you for being here with us this morning and giving us that information. This the whole purpose of us coming together today is to talk with our delegation, our partners in the U.S. Army, and having our city council and city members here available to understand the concept of this. But most importantly, as we all know, it all comes down to money. So without that, we have nothing. So basically what I'm hearing from you is we possibly have an avenue for secured funding, possibly through Congress and moving forward at this time. My question to you is, Congressman Lamborn, who you represent here, I believe is no longer going to be in office after the first of the year, or is he termed out, but not running for re-election, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Congressman Lamborn has decided to retire, and his term will end when the new Congress is sworn in on January 3rd.
So hearing that, knowing that, who will be moving forward, spearheading this endeavor to get the support and continued support? Because as we all know, if you're not in office to continue this, is there any level of a continued support for a continuation of this processes moving forward to secure this funding, or what's the succession plan look at this point after the Congressman is out of office.
Well, I mean, to be blunt, we still have an election to go through. So, you know, I think any sort of comment on my part on any proposed, you know, succession would be premature. But although I mean, all I would do is encourage you to engage your representative, your elected representative, whoever that may be, moving forward.
Okay, I guess maybe I could have phrased it a little differently. Does the congressman currently have other representatives he's working with in supporting this issue moving forward?
As far as other members of Congress in the Colorado delegation?
Yes.
No.
So it might be an uphill climb once he's out of office. And so I just wanted to be perfectly clear of how this is processes works, because we put a lot of effort and time, and everybody's here today with us, and to do these steps moving forward. So is there a plan from a perspective of the U.S. Army, if this doesn't appropriations get funded, what's the next steps for the U.S. Army to move forward? Once you have all the stakeholdering in place with the county commissioners and the city of Trinidad, what's the next steps for the Army if this funding is not available?
So obviously the Army gets funding from Congress, and actually the Department of Defense for one from Congress, right? I think we all know that. So in terms of priority, one, we're going to be great stewards of our tax dollars. And we don't take that lightly. In terms of budget, but it doesn't small enough that those are not starters for us. Every single dollar is a tax dollar we get from Congress. We greatly appreciate it, prioritize. I think if you took a look at the Secretary of the Army's stated priorities, you would find that this is probably low on it. Where we're putting most of our energy right now is in housing infrastructure, which is barracks for our soldiers. Example, our Bolar barracks were built almost 50 years ago. We're putting money into infrastructure in terms of where we work. Most of those were also built around the same time. As we bring new weapon systems on board, we need to modernize the hangars for the future vertical lift. We need to modernize for our new tanks so that we can actually pull those engines, store them, and make sure we're being good stewards of the equipment that our tax dollars are doing. That is why we are currently moving forward to enhance what we have at the beginning. We were able with, you know, like, we do appreciate our congressional delegation for Colorado going forward and leaving on the Department of the Army to free up that environmental impact study. Michael says he doesn't think he did. I think they did have an impact if we got some quick movement. And that money has been allocated and that study has been awarded as of 27 September. So again, that will allow us to enhance what we can do that's existing. If priorities change, or there is a DSIP, or there's another avenue to allocate money to that pipeline one way or another, if we could have been that before, but we won't deviate from the Army's priorities, which are right now obviously barracks, infrastructure.
Okay, but I just want to, you know, see exactly we have plan B. I'm one of those kind of guys that I like to see the future, and I can't ever have that crystal ball perfect, but at least have a plan B and C in place to move forward. So if it is not available and you're not able to relocate at this particular time, you know, this year, next year, 5 years from now for appropriations, just to make sure for the people listening online and for our farmers and ranchers, that there is still no need for any expansion of Pima County.
There is no need or want for expansion. New lot to enhance. We have the land we need. We are
so in the environmental study portion of it too. What's that length of time looking at for you guys now?
Eric, is that two, Joe, two? I can think that's 2 months.
Yes, sir. So I'll pick up General Ferris left off, but the EIS was reported to Omaha District Court of Engineers on the 27th of September, and they are gearing up to start the study. Once they start the study, there's 2 years statutory period that takes. During that period, there's multiple planned for federal law engagements with the communities and any stakeholders. So we'll be coming down here and holding public meetings in cooperation with the officer, and then and lots of opportunity for input. We're going to look at all opportunities to your question. Part of that study is the best case scenario that the pipeline gets moved, but we're also sort of looking at options to enhance training with the Army needs if we have to still work around the pipeline for now. So hopefully that answers your question.
And I have a follow-up question for our congressional representatives here today, if they'd like to come up, if anyone wants to answer this. Where does your representative, your senator, at this specific time, if at all, have support in this moving forward with what was discussed by with Michael earlier, Mr. Curcio? Antonio, Kathy?
Mr. Curcio, I know you have your hand up while they get ready here in the room. Go ahead. I know you had your hand up for quite a bit.
Yes, I should have clarified one statement that I made previously when you asked if there was anybody in the delegation that was sort of tracking this and supporting it. I had in my mind other members of the House and other members of the House delegation. And while that may still be true, I neglected to mention that I work very, very closely with Senator Hickenlooper and Senator Bennett's national security team as well. And I do know that they are tracking this issue very closely. So, I think I value my relationship with that staff greatly. And, from a continuity perspective, I think that you're in excellent hands.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So now I think, the work that has been done, Commissioner Luis Lopez, former Mayor Rico, Mr. Doran Camp, we have proposed, of course, from our perspective, three could be solutions to this whole thing. The first one, of course, is to abandon the pipe where it's at. The second is to move the pipeline outside of Pin Canyon Maneuver Site. And then, of course, the third is to move the pipeline to the exterior boundary of Pinyon County Maneuver Site. Do you still feel that these three recommendations, should we leave that if we decide to approve this letter? This is what we see from a county perspective based upon the investigative phone calls and research. And we're simply recommending this. When you get there, it's gonna be the heavy lifting is gonna be on your side. The way we see it is this is soldier safety. That is what we are trying to provide. And to me, this letter is coming from that perspective, the safety. And then, of course, that leads to the communication within the community, which, by the way, this Board of County Commissioners, of course, we're going to be removed when and if we approve this letter of support, hand it over, and then you begin the heavy lifting of all the investigative, all the stakeholding, all the community meetings, and all those things in general, as you mentioned, the environmental studies begin. And so from that perspective, I think we have three recommended solutions.
If Mr. Dornkamp could chime in, I'd like to hear from him.
Well, it's already been mentioned, abandonment is off the table. Kinder Morgan said that they...
So we can strike that out.
That can be scratched. But in addition, I understand from the Army's perspective that this isn't a high priority. And if it's not, and I hate to be the fly in the ointment, I'm going to be, how important then is it to us to continue with this letter of support? I think Mr. Curio had also mentioned that in order for a project like this to even be considered, it's got to have at least partial planning completed. And if that's the case also, how, if we do decide to go ahead and push forward or try and push forward with this letter of support, how then is even partial planning funded that would even get this letter of support or the idea of moving the pipeline to the boundary or outside the boundary? How do we even get that started?
Right? Yeah. And I'm going to, from my perspective, I think that is, we're throwing the pass. And it is now the United States Army's responsibility to follow through. I think, from where we stand, I feel comfortable saying that definitely this letter of support, yes, knowing that we're going to have a new Congress in 2024-2025, I could change things. But nonetheless, from where we stand today, I think individually, not as a plural here, I think the letter of support, once again, if we decide to approve it, we just give it on. And ladies and gentlemen, this is where we stand. And if later on this has to be revisited, I think there will be an opportunity going forward as well. That's my opinion. Once again, Mr. Kershaw, you had your hand up. Oh.
No, I just forgot to lower
it. Okay, so there we go.
I took it down now.
Commissioner Lopez.
Chairman, at this time, the city mayor, Grego, or Councilman Ogletree are here in the room. If you have any questions for the U.S. Army, I'd please allow them to address the board and the yes. U.S. Army at this time. Yeah, I don't know if that's working. Is the yellow light on?
Come up here.
I come up to the podium.
If you don't mind, for those that are on the audience so they can hear you.
Batteries are probably dead. You drained them. You just drained them out there.
Good morning. Thank
Good morning.
You.
Good morning.
Thank you, gentlemen, for hosting this meeting. I think in my mind, and I'm going to go back to council and find out what our next step is, but I'd like to know specifics about what priority, what's the timeline? Who is going to compose this letter? Are we going to send the letter jointly as county commissioners and city council? I mean, just very basic information that I need to take back to council. I'm thinking, I don't know what the precedence is for doing one letter for both the city and the county, but I'm assuming the contents of the letter are going to be pretty close to identical. So that direction, so I can direct council and let them know what our next step is as well.
Madam Mayor, let me go ahead and we will reach out to our legal counsel as well on that.
Okay.
I need to get clarification exactly what it would take for us to do a joint letter. Certainly that would be, I think it would be predominantly more accepted. I think as far as the language, I see a couple of edits, a couple of deletions, as we just discovered a couple of minutes ago with one of the recommendations that initially was on the table. So let us do a little research and we'll certainly, and as far as the priority, we'll go ahead and leave that to them. What is the priority? I think we have, as you mentioned before, we could work on it, give it another iteration and then send it out to you, to the board, and see where we're at.
I apologize. There was an oversight with the notice of this meeting for city council. So what I would suggest, and I hope the county commissioners agree, let's do a joint session together. And we'll post it properly. That way, everybody from city council can answer questions. I've tried to do my best to convey to council what this project means to the Army, to the county, and the city. You know, it's an opportunity. It's a win-win-win for all three of us. So maybe if we could all get together, and, you know, I love having the Army here, but just as convenience, maybe have a Zoom meeting or however I would just really like to get this done.
Yeah. And again, you know, I really want to extend my sincere thank you to Commissioner Luis Lopez,
yes,
and those that have worked with this document, because about a year ago, it was decided that he and former Mayor Rico would carry this with the help of both administrators, city and county. And so, quite honestly, you know, for us, this is kind of perhaps the penultimate revision of what we could end up with. So, absolutely, we'll get a little bit of a direction and guidance from our legal counsel, and then we'll reach back out to you.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Please come up.
To quantify or to continue on that, Mr. Dornkamp and I will work on that, Mayor and Council, review it, get a final draft to the Board of County Commissioners before we submit it for City Councils, and then we'll have a work session regarding the final draft moving forward. And that way everybody can have an opportunity to review. I think we sent this out a couple weeks ago or a week ago. Maybe.
It's been out a while.
Been out for a little bit. So I think it's gone to everyone to have a chance to digest it. But now we're at the end of the race where we'll probably need to finalize and get a final good draft with all of the participants putting input. So I would recommend that if any city council has any concerns regarding that, to please contact me and I can address those questions at that time regarding the purpose, the background, the conclusions, the benefits, and all of that. So I can have one-on-one conversations with city council members. I'd be willing to do that at any time. And that way we can answer those questions before we come to a public session and all of the questions come up regarding the white paper. So please continue.
Just for the record, I'm a city council member. My name is Erin Ogletree and I fully support what the mayor said. I just wanted to add a little color to some of what I've sensed on council about this situation. And mostly what the concern has been is that we have to have an identifiable interest for Trinidad. All of us are very patriotic, and going to the maneuver site last year was really a remarkable life-changing event for me, riding around a Black Hawk helicopter. I was unbelievably impressed with everyone there, with the work that's being done there. So this doesn't come from a point of view of we don't understand its importance. But as far as the city of Trinidad, there's a history with Pinyon Canyon. And there was an incredible outcry, as everyone's aware, when Pinyon Canyon was trying to expand years ago. And that has all been resolved. But as this issue is coming up again, I think it is incumbent on us as a city council and as representatives of the city of Trinidad that we are assured that Pinyon Canyon is not going to be harmed. So we're going to be very interested in the environmental study that comes out as to what kind of ordinances are intended to be used. One thing that's very impressive about that place are the number of environmental resources, historical resources. So we're going to be, as a community, interested in how those are going to be protected. So those are my thoughts. Also, from an economic point of view, we really do need to understand how will this affect the city of Trinidad, because we have to turn around to our constituents and say, not only that we are patriotic people who support our military, which is absolutely true, but that we see it that the expansion of use of this facility is also in the interest of the people of Trinidad. And that's all I would add.
Thank you,
Councilman.
Quickly, I just want to make sure everyone is clear. One, we totally are on board and agree works of cultural and environmental stuff in there. And I think Eric would be happy to have you come down and reach out to cultural sites in the efforts we go through to make sure that the environment in the cultural sites down there.
I was impressed with the people that I met down there. There was a woman whose name I don't recall, who it was her job to watch out for the eagle nest. And I mean, the level of detail was very impressive.
We'd be happy to continue that dialogue and continue that relationship with the county commissioners. I think that there's nothing but goodness that comes from that transparency and that shared understanding. And as we take a look at the Phil's point about is this worth it? Yes, the funding may not be the priority of the Secretary of the Army at 1.1 million people, some like 32 executive agencies that the Secretary is responsible for. But for the enhancement of Pinyon Canyon, so when I talk to you about funding priorities at the HQDA, That's what I'm saying. This is not a very problem to the Secretary of Slower, but to support Carson and the expansion of enhancement in Canada. This is so when I say when you say the letter, it would do a difference. I think it shows it would help and show that the city, the county are all moving forward with the Department of the Army in an effort to enhance the training in Canada. I'll keep saying it. We do not want to expand. I think that you said we solved that, and I think we are all in the same. We do not want to expand beyond our existing quarters, and removing the pipeline further enhances our ability to train and protect the environment, instead of the safety. everything that comes with that, that pipeline, 60 years old.
Thank you so much.
So, Councilwoman, thank you so much for your comments. I believe that you summarized exactly what we have addressed throughout. So thank you for those comments. And definitely that's going to go on as the communication ensues, the investigative report, the stakeholding, the meeting, so on, from their perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Curcio.
Thank you, and thank you for letting me chime in. I actually have a few amplifying thoughts as I was listening to the councilwoman speak. I completely understand the need for the pipeline moving to be in the interests of the people of Trinidad. Let me give you a little bit of perspective. I wasn't always a congressional staffer. I was 26 years active duty in the Navy. And for 3 years, I was stationed in the Pentagon on the Chief of Naval Operations Staff, in the portion of that staff that was in charge of what we called fleet readiness. Specifically, I helped write the budget for the Navy ranges and targets. On the comment about environmental protection, I just wanted to offer the observation that from a headquarters perspective, and again, I'll let the Army folks correct me because I'm looking at it from a Navy perspective, but the Navy operates some very environmentally sensitive ranges, both specifically in Fallon, Nevada, but also in our offshore ranges, where the Marine Mammal Protection Act, Clean Water Act, are all of high focus. And what we see is that the services, whether it's the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, they tend to tie in the offices that are in charge of environmental readiness and environmental protection with their range office. So when I was on the Navy staff, the director of Navy environmental readiness was in the next office over from the director of fleet readiness. And they all fell under the same three-star admiral that was in charge of fleet logistics. The other thing I would note is that, and I don't know if General Ferris touched on this, but is the fiscal aspect of this. So I was fortunate enough about a month or so ago to be in the district, and I observed the 4th Infantry Division undertaking a fairly large exercise. And the training that, from my perspective, that unit was able to execute and the level of readiness that they were able to obtain without going and expending a massive amount of operations and maintenance funds of the Army was, from my perspective, again, a huge benefit. And we are in a time when we are extremely fiscally limited. This is not a political perspective on my point. The numbers are hard and fast on the deficit that the country is running. And yet we're at a point where our defense spending is at a low with respect to GDP that we have not seen since World War II, with the exception of 2009, when it was 0.01% lower. Right now, we're at a 3.0% GDP in defense spending. 2009, it was 2.99, and then it was, that's the lowest it's been since World War II, at a time when the world is encountering some of the most tumultuous challenges that we've seen. And so I think that the benefit for the country in having our soldiers and increasingly our airmen and really it just runs the gamut of domain, the ability for them to train in a space like Pinyon Canyon is is highly, you can't overstate it. And I would just offer that observation from, again, my perspective in Washington, D.C., sort of being in the intelligence briefings weekly, and also having the responsibility of helping Congressman Lamborn make some really hard decisions with his colleagues on defense spending. Thanks.
Mr. Kershaw, thank you for that. And for General and Colonel here today with us, this is the main purpose. We haven't really had any more follow-up meetings regarding this white paper, is because of funding mechanisms and the priority to them was in place. In my communications with our other representatives and senators in the past 6 months, 8 months, it's pretty much been a stalemate until the election is over. And that's kind of why we haven't really brought this forward until this conversation happened at Pinon Canyon a month ago. And Commissioner Hass brought that to my attention, that Sir Lamborn had some possible funding mechanism in place. So that's so background why we have not really fulfilled this commitment moving forward until the election was done. But now having this opportunity with Mr. Curcio and Senator Lamborn moving forward, this is the whole purpose of us coming together today.
And you bring up potential moving forward as we look to the future. Some of the things I'd like to highlight for everybody is when we look forward at potential for Pinon Canyon, what 4th Infantry Division is looking at is, some of you may have heard of the Army's Future Command, which is the lead modernization, innovation, and development command in the United States Army. And what we're trying to do now, and we have already been ordered to do, is 4th Infantry Division start in 2026, being one of the key experimenters for future weapons platforms and technology platforms for the Army. And what we're designing into the exercise is incorporating Pinon Canyon, not just the world-class Fort Irwin, which is the Mojave Desert, not just 29 bombs, not just out of California where all the tech is, but how do we bring that here and demonstrate and train with that equipment here and all those contractors? And it kind of goes with there's a question. What is that impact? I can't talk to you about economic multiplier. I'm an Army guy. But what I can talk to you about is the potential to bring high-end units, high-end technology, and experimental things to train in Pinon Canyon and to all of Southern Colorado Springs. So that is where we're looking when we look out at 26. This is why we think it's important for your voice to be heard as something, if this is something you support. Because I think it'll be a large impact across the entire Southeast Colorado.
And thank you, General. So bottom line is, for us, we've worked, my fellow commissioners and I, for many years together, Senate bills and House bills in the state of Colorado. This here function today is basically stakeholder. We are having conversation with you, with our city partners, our community members, our legislation representatives that are here with us today. And this, to me, in my opinion, is a great way to get support for assisting the U.S. Army in getting the funding mechanism in place for such bills and legislation moving forward. Having said that, protecting our best interests, which are my children, my wife, my family, is something very important to me and my family. And we respect what our armed forces do so much for this community, for our neck of the world, for the world we live in today with this scenarios that are happening abroad. And we respect the U.S. Army and everything they do for us to protect and provide the very safety and protection that we need for our community. So I thank you all for coming today. That's my closing comments. Do we have any more comments from the room, Mayor, former Mayor?
Mr. Rico.
Couple of final comments. One of the things that we requested, and he offered last year when I saw General Doyle, and he said if we needed a letter of support to ask him. So we did. So we did get a letter of support from General Doyle, and that has been sent off to all you. All of you should have a copy of that. And in there, it actually mentions that there would be some economic impact. And I think that's going to be the question from the community of the city of Trinidad. What's in it for us? So that's what it boils down to when it comes to a community. So I think those are some answers that maybe can be worked on. as to what maybe some of those economic impacts could be for the community. So it's really important that I think that we gather all this information and move it forward, being that I've been involved with this, and I'll offer it to you and whoever, if you guys need any information from me, I'm willing to sit down with you and offer you what I know and some of the people that I've caught, the contacts and all the information, because I do have a binder of several pages of people that I've talked to in the past on this. So I think it's really important that this moves forward. Maybe we can get a timeline of some sort of when we could like to get this completed, so that it just doesn't sit on the table. So I think that would be of some importance as well. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Hess.
And from a rancher's point of view, living in that area and having dealt with that that second round of possible expansion, there's going to be those topics to consider too: noise, dust. That will be their concerns, and but I've been assured that these are training rounds that will be going off, so they won't have the significant impact that it would be if you were in combat. So, as combat rounds would have, so that those will be points that they'll want to know.
Before we make my final remarks, anyone else would like to provide any comments, either here in the audience or online? General.
First, I'd like to say, Commissioner, and stakeholders, thank you. Thank you for taking the time and the energy that has been put forth into this letter, which is very well done. I appreciate having that reading for us. I thought it was very accurate. And I want to express how proud I am to have be part of this community. That even though I'm in Fort Carson, you are part of this community. You are valuable neighbors. We appreciate you as neighbors. And I hope you appreciate us and recognize that we want to be part of this community. We want to be part of the problem. So just a congratulations to us. So thank you. And thank you for your expressed patriotism, for expressing anger to your community, not just the community now, but in the future. And I think that's why everyone here serves. We in uniform don't have an operating service. And you probably get a lot of complaints every day. You go down the street, get a cup of coffee. Someone's always getting something. So I say thank you for what you do, your community, and what this community can be in the future. And we're proud of part of it. We look forward to growing this relationship. I think the first memo I have about being in Kenya goes back to 1980. Yes, I'm not kidding. Since I've written a letter and so back. But we've progressed so far because people are willing to sit down with stakeholders and have candid, honest conversations. So thank you for that as well. And we will be transparent in all we do. And we will continue to be transparent, as I hope. And with that transparency, we do not want to expand Union Canyon. We have no plan to expand Union Canyon. We want to enhance it because we see unlimited potential and what lies there for our Army in the future. And I think if we continue as stakeholders to sit together, we can make this a win-win situation for everyone. For the member of the city of Pueblos here in Trinidad, to our rangers out there by Feeding Canyon, to the soldiers and your children who one day will be wearing you so that they're prepared to go. I really appreciate it. The congressional delegation, the staff knows that have come through. They put on their boots and come down to Feeding Canyon to put eyes on it out of the marble halls of the Capitol, and I appreciate that, led by Michael Portillo and Congressman Langhorne's office, but he's not alone. That delegation from Nick Luper to Bennett have all expressed interest in how we make this better. And I think that shows everything to the community in Colorado. And I'm proud to live in the state. I'm proud to be here today, and I'm excited to see where the community can go. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Just one last economic impact. Impact plug, and that is, please remember that at our Perry Stokes Airport, fixed base operator has the ability now to do live fueling or hot fueling, however it's termed, and your helicopters and other flight machinery have been coming there. Please continue to do so.
We're going to be there today. It's a proud month for our 4th Combat Aviation. So,
on that note, I was going to be remiss if you wouldn't have mentioned that, because we have to use every opportunity, of course, to promote economic impact ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much on behalf of this board. We are honored to have had this conversation. This will create continuity, will create transparency and accountability. And so for that, it is our duty to bring it to the constituents and have this conversation as this document will go through its final stages of revision. And so for that, thank you all for being here today. This pretty much then concludes this meeting. Having no other questions, commissioners, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
And please, there's